Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Still to come this hour, I don't know why the stowaway stories always fascinate me, but we have somebody now, again, went in the landing gear of an American Airlines jetliner. Mm-hmm. It didn't go well.
It typically doesn't.
Didn't go well. But so we'll get to that coming up. But
it's a crazy thing, though, that's like, if I had a nickel for every time I heard this, a story like this, of somebody trying to stow away in the landing gear, I'd have like 5 nickels, which is not a lot.
But
it's crazy that I'd have 5.
It never ends well. Yeah. And yet people still try it. So right. We'll get to that coming up here a little later. But my mom was in town this weekend. My aunt came. Neighbors came over Saturday night, ordered pizza, hung out, played games. Mm-hmm. And I had music playing on the TV, on one of the TV channels. And a song came on that I really like, and it was Friday that we spent quite a bit of time, Thursday, that we spent quite a bit of time talking about the misheard lyrics
yeah.
and songs you don't know the lyrics to. And a song came on, and I'm like, I really like this song, and I know about 8 words. I know 2 lines of this song for sure, and that is maybe about it.
So it's Take Me Home Tonight by Eddie Money.
Uh-huh.
Hold on, let me get to when he's... What do you think he just said
there? I feel like he doesn't open his mouth all the way. I feel like he does that.
You know what it is? It's the Bruce Springsteen effect that you had going on in the 80s. It carried over into the 90s with the Kurt Cobain stuff, too, or in Eddie Vedder, where it's like a way of singing where you can... it's purposeful because it makes your voice hit your face differently while you're singing.
Okay.
But it makes it so that you're not enunciating very well.
It's maddening. Because yes. all the words kind of run together.
Right.
And I thought, I know, Take Me Home Tonight. And there's a line where a woman says, be my little baby.
Yes.
That's it.
That's Ronnie from the Ronnie.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
And I like this song a lot. Yeah. And I've probably been singing to it forever. And I don't even know what, I think I was just kind of doing the same thing.
All right, here it is.
Wait, play that again.
Okay. Hold on a second.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I need it louder in my ears.
Okay.
I'm turning it up. Okay. Are you the answer?
Mm-hmm.
I should have walked away.
Nope. Is are you the answer? I shouldn't wonder.
Oh, something appetite.
What did you think he said?
That's what I feel with my appetite.
Is I want to wet my when I feel you wet my appetite, which is you
that
know
doesn't
what?
Make sense.
Good for him.
You don't wet
Good
an
for
appetite.
Him elevating his lyrical, you know, kind of like Rick
did
Springfield.
He write it?
I don't know. Ooh. It's kind of like Rick Springfield using the word moot in Jesse's Girl. You know?
Oh, he did write it.
Oh, he did? Yeah.
I think he did write it.
Wet. How do you spell wet? Wet my appetite. It's W-H-E-T.
I don't... Yeah. Why, I wonder.
I don't know.
It was a movie, too, Take Me Home.
This was?
Okay. I knew the first part of that, with all the power to release it. I have no idea what he said in the next line.
With all the power you're releasing.
See?
Yeah.
What did he say in the next line?
It isn't safe to walk the city streets alone. That's a little threatening.
Wait.
Basically, like, you're so hot, I can't let you walk these city streets alone. It's not safe for you out there.
Anticipation's running through me.
There you go.
Okay. Let's find a key, turn this engine on.
Yep.
Okay.
Breathe in.
Okay.
Feel your heartbeat fire.
Now here's the part I know.
Take me home tonight. Do you know?
I don't know the next line.
Really?
No. I don't want to let you go. What?
Do you really?
I don't know what he says after. I don't want to let you go.
Hold on. Let me go.
To something, something, something. No clue.
Do you know what he's saying, Quentin?
I don't want to let you go. What?
Till you see the light.
Till you see the light.
Doesn't sound like that at all.
I don't know what you're hearing.
His mouth did not move that way.
You go till you celiac. Till you seal my thigh.
Okay. Wait, what was that? Just like what?
Ronnie sang.
Okay, well, you have to know that that's her that's singing that other line.
Yes, I've always found that line confusing too.
You have to know that.
Because I didn't know who that was. Right. It's Phil Spector's wife.
Yes.
But I didn't know Ronnie Spector. I mean, singing that, I had no idea. And I was like, oh, who's Ronnie?
Yeah.
And then I hear a woman say, I thought it was a dude. Or I assumed Ronnie was a dude. And he's like, hey, are you just like that guy told me you were?
And then she sings the next line.
And then she sings Be My Little Baby.
Baby. Which is kind of a cool little thing that he does, but you have to know it makes more sense semantically for her to sing first and then for him to say just like Ronnie sang.
Yes.
Because you don't know that that's coming anyway.
Can I play you one that's always, I know the words of the song, but it's the most, if you don't know the words, it's even more mystifying. It's actually better. All right. It's this song by Creedence Clearwater Revival. It's called Down on the Corner. Okay. Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse. They're starting to unwind. Got it.
Something on the corner.
Four kids on the corner trying to bring you up.
Okay. Willie picks a tune out and he blows it on the hum.
Blows it on the harp.
That he did not say harp.
Blows it on.
Nah, that's not harp. I don't know what instrument that is.
I used to hear this song and think the craziest stuff was happening. I thought the line was, and I'm not kidding, Willie picks a tuna and throws it on the hump. And I thought that in my
logical
head, I visualize a guy named Willie grabbing a large fish and beating a hunchback with it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, down in the corner. Out in the street. Willie and the Po' Boys are playing Bring a Nickel, Tap Your Feet. We got it.
Wait, Bring a Nickel what?
Tap Your Feet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
That part's not hard. Okay, here we go.
I don't know. What?
I'll tell you what the actual line is, but I always heard Rooster Hits the White Girl.
No, there's a long O sound. I don't know what he actually says, but there's a long O sound in that last word.
It is Rooster Hits the Washboard.
That doesn't sound like washboard either. He's a
pretty
enunciate his R's.
Well, he's a man from California pretending he's a man from Louisiana.
Badly.
That was their thing.
Beaver just got his something.
People just got a smile. See, I heard that line clearly, but I always heard the line before it. Rooster hits the white girl and people just got a smile. Like, oh no, she had a coming. No.
You're the worst version of Weird Al.
No, Weird Al would take this and make it into something entirely different.
Exactly.
I'm trying to hear the lyrics. I just can't understand it.
That's why we're the worst version of Weird Al.
Something forms a gut face.
It's like a Rorschach test.
He's also going a little fast, and so I can't.
Hold on. What are you hearing, Quentin?
Something forms a gut face. That's all I got.
Gut face.
It's funny because when Jamie says what she hears and then you replay it,
yeah,
I hear exactly
that's
what
I'm hearing too.
That was a problem
something
last
about
week
a gut
too.
Face.
Discombobulating.
What are you hearing, Quentin?
Oh, that line?
Yeah.
I wasn't
paying attention.
No, I'm trying to.
What?
Edit audio while you're doing
don't
this.
Don't worry, but just don't put the segment in the podcast. It's fine.
I've got a job to do.
All right, fine. We're playing Down on the Corner for those of you who won't be able to hear this.
Here's the thing about Quentin. Uh-huh. I'm going to call you out for a second. Most of the time, you can't wait to like
break the rules
and, you know, make jokes and all that stuff. Why now you don't? Now suddenly you have work to do.
Because as a collective, we got to talk into about this very specific thing.
What?
We did?
Not having stuff on. Oh, you can't have music on the podcast.
Can't have music
on
the podcast.
Yeah, that's why I said just leave the segment out. Yeah.
So.
Anyway.
Okay.
Put another one in. We'll just take an old segment from like a couple months ago. Nobody will know.
Okay, can you play that line
again?
I
respect you, podcast listeners.
All right. It's, here we go. And let me go back again. What are you hearing?
A solo for a while.
Yes. What's the first part though?
I got nothing.
Gut face. He's saying gut
Blinky
face.
Blinky hits the gut bass. Blinky thumps the gut bass and solos for a while.
What is a gut bass?
It's a bass that has, I think, a fatter base. I don't know.
Maybe close.
Maybe it's one of those like ones that you see in old cartoons and stuff where it's like a broom handle stuck into some kind of bucket and it's got a string on it. All right. That one.
Poor boys.
Poor
That's
boy.
All I got.
You got that right.
Okay.
I thought he said four board twang gorilla power.
Hold on. We're entering some very questionable territory with that.
But can you-
gorilla power. Well, I thought he meant like with gorilla power. Like it's like, oh, it's like a powerful primate is playing.
No idea.
No idea? No. None of you? All right, I'll tell you what it is in a second. How are you not hearing gorilla power? But the line is actually poor boy twangs the rhythm out.
Ah.
No, gorilla power sounds closer, doesn't it?
I hear rhythm after I hear it.
I'm just hearing gorilla power.
Yeah.
On his Kalamazoo, I got that part. All right.
Willie goes into a dance and doubles on the zoo.
You're so close.
Most of that's actually decipherable.
Is Kazoo in there?
Yes, it's Kazoo.
Okay.
It's you between the two of you got it. It's Willie goes into a dance and doubles on Kazoo. When I was a kid, I thought it was Willie goes into a dance and the devil's on the zoo.
Okay.
Because it definitely sounds like he's saying devil, not double. Devil's on the zoo.
I don't want to squirrel too much here, but some kid down the street got a Kazoo.
I'm so sorry.
And he's
sorry
just
this is happening to you.
Just like screaming into this Kazoo.
It's not even using it properly.
No, no.
Screaming into
he's
it.
Screaming into the Kazoo. And I was sitting around a fire pit and on Saturday, and I just screamed, oh my God, stop with the Kazoo.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't hear it again.
Aw. So, maybe his parents smacked him. Now you got a kid beaten.
Well, you know.
Down on the corner. All right.
Out on the street. That's good. Yeah. I love that song. I love that song. And I actually miss when I used to hear the lyrics improperly because it was a lot more fun for me to hear it that way. So there you go. between Eddie Money and Creedence Clearwater Revival, you can understand why collectively we have no idea who Bad Bunny is.
Open your mouth when you sing, people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And enunciate words.
I mean, it's a good point. If you can't understand Bad Bunny because he speaks Spanish, is it any different than not understanding Eddie Money when they're speaking English?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Or when he's speaking English or Creedence when John Fogerty is speaking English?
I mean, there are a few songs in Spanish that are popular.
Yeah.
As a group, and we
Despacito, that's about it.
Feliz Navidad.
Yeah. No, but he sings part of that.
Some of it's in English, but the part that's not, we sing along to it like we know what it means.
I know you don't like Christmas music. I will tell you that is my least favorite Christmas song because it's just so repetitive.
Then we never have to play it.
Never play that one.
Not that we're going to anyway, right, Quentin? It was never going to make the list.
I can't believe you guys are a united front against Christmas music.
I didn't know this about him until on the air that day.
Yeah, we'll have very limited Christmas music played on this.
Well, at least there's some.
There will.
I'll find a way.
What day is Christmas?
I'll figure it out.
It's like on a Thursday this year. It's horrible.
So there might be a couple days where Christmas music slides its way into the playlist.
Listen, I'm okay with no Christmas music because you can hear it in many places.
I mean, we're going to do some Christmas based songs, and you know, I will hold my end of the bargain as our music coming into the segment will follow with the segment.
I don't see. We talk about this now.
That'll be interesting.
What? No Christmas songs ever?
I really
like,
don't.
Not
ever,
a single one
I really,
is good?
No, I really don't ever like it.
Most of the time, they're sung by kids who can't sing. And so
usually they're sung by people who are great singers.
And so we gotta throw that out right there. They follow like really bad Christmas movies.
Okay.
So we gotta throw all those out.
And so we're left
with a very select few that are actually
they
like,
get
good
overplayed.
Songs. That's true.
A ton, and so then you get tired of them.
We should do a list, obviously near Christmas, of the worst Christmas songs. At least you guys, then that would be my way to get Christmas songs played. Even if they're ones I hate. We'll do worst Christmas songs.
Yeah,
like,
and then they'll be stuck in my head.
December 20th.
Yeah, and we're going to have to play them as examples for people.
Yeah.
Kansas City.
It'll blow back in two ways because one, either people will hate the songs and hate that we're playing them, or people will love the songs and hate that we hate them.
In which way do I win with the list?
You would win by having
If people hate
The worst song. Yeah.
Okay.
If you're picked.
But I mean, with the people that don't seem to vote my way anymore.
Oh. They just didn't last. I don't want to rehash the list. That was a debacle. We can't let him participate.
I agree, but you know, I was the one that lost, so I can't really say that. Quinn, did you put it? Did you put your little mark?
I put it.
Your little tally mark for you?
I highlighted it and put an asterisk next to
highlighted it.
It doesn't deserve an asterisk. You won fair and square.
I did leave the best movie candy in italics because he's put popcorn down.
Right.
So.
Nobody knows what we're talking about anymore. All right, coming up. Speaking of having no idea what's going on, a stowaway, I should say that more clearly, was found dead on an American Airlines plane in the landing gear. Why do people keep doing this? We'll talk about it next on Midday.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I know we said this doesn't happen very often, but it's happening a lot lately where someone will stow away, it's usually in the wheel well of an airplane, and they will die on the way. Because, simply because of altitude. You know, when we talk about Mount Everest, people that climb Mount Everest, the point at the top is called the death zone. The reason they call it the death zone is because above 26,000 feet, generally, you cannot survive without oxygen. And I think Mount Everest is 29,000 and change. And there are a few people who have climbed Everest without oxygen, and it's amazing that they're able to do that because most people can't. Most people die without oxygen over 26,000 feet. Most jetliners go to like 32,000, 35,000 feet.
I have a dumb question to ask then.
Okay.
So how do people in the plane survive?
Pressurized.
It's pressurized air.
Oxygen.
So they don't pump oxygen in is my point.
I think they circulate. There's something about it being pressurized.
Okay.
Where you are not. There is oxygen being, I don't know the science behind it, but it's because the cabin is pressurized.
It also makes you think, like, was this a test thing where they, like, the first jetliner, like, went up and everybody died? Like, how did they know?
How did they figure it out?
How did they figure it out?
Well, generally, you figure, I don't know the answer to how they figured it out, but, I mean, I feel altitude sickness in Denver.
Yeah.
I mean, so you just kind of know how your body reacts. And they figure, okay, enough people get sick over a certain altitude.
Okay.
Oxygen must be the problem. I'm glad you're figuring that out because I'm sort of curious about the answer to that. It has something to do with it being pressurized.
Yeah. At some point, somebody had to be like, no, we can't have that up there. But, you know, we also sent people into space and we had no idea what the hell was going on there.
So this was in Charlotte, North Carolina. This was an American Airlines flight. Police are investigating after the death of a stowaway found Sunday morning inside the landing gear compartment. That's where it usually is. The plane had recently arrived in Charlotte from Europe. Good Lord.
Yikes.
And was undergoing.
All the way from Europe?
Yes. So you think about how long.
Yeah. That's a long time.
And we don't know at what point that person died.
Yeah.
The plane was undergoing maintenance when the body was discovered. So they didn't even have a reason until you have a reason to check the landing gear or the tires.
How did he get up in there?
Usually they like landing gear because there's a way to get in. There's a spot.
Up the thing.
You just climb up and you're able to like hang on for dear life. Yeah. And there's not like a little chair in there or anything. I think they underestimate how difficult that's going to be and how fast 500 miles an hour is that jetliners go over an ocean.
Yeah. So is this is this, do people do it sometimes and live? Or do we only hear about the ones that die?
Good question. Yes, in fact, they do. And it's a higher percentage than you would have thought. Where did my CNN story go? The FAA said in 2019, more than 77% of people who attempted to stow away on aircraft have died. But that means 23% lived. Now, they're not always, I bet the FAA has records that we could access about it, because they're not, I assume it's not always going to be, I don't know what kind of plane this was, but it's not always going to be a massive, massive jet going over an ocean, mm-hmm. and that you're more likely to survive if you're up there for less time. If it's Kansas City to Chicago, maybe you don't have to go.
Right.
Your altitude is as high, maybe you're more likely to live.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's that high, the number of people that have lived. But there have been a lot of incidents lately. A little more than a week ago, a 13-year-old boy from Afghanistan was found wandering on a tarmac in India after hiding in the landing gear of a plane that traveled about 90 minutes from Kabul to Delhi. And he was sent back to Afghanistan. In January, two people were found dead in the wheel well of a JetBlue flight from JFK to Fort Lauderdale. That came, and I remember us talking about this one, the discovery came 2 weeks after a body was found in the wheel bay of a United Airlines flight from Chicago to Maui. And think about how long that is. I don't know why people think they're going to survive.
So I apparently there's a bunch of, you'll be shocked by this, internet garbage out there about how it's more survivable that the numbers of people who've actually died from hypoxia are actually overinflated.
Oh, really?
And yeah,
the FAA, you can actually survive.
Not to mention hypobaria, which is low pressure. Like you're gonna freezing temperatures,
frostbite,
yeah,
loss of limbs. They
getting
said
crushed by the gear,
yeah,
falling out on approach, because if you're not careful, the thing's gonna open with you in it.
If they bounce a little bit or they, yeah.
FAA says you're right. It fit 75 to 80% with most victims being young men. But yeah, it's because a few headline outliers create a false sense that it's possible. And if you told me that there were people out there just putting out this information, trying to kill people, I'd believe. Mm-hmm. Like if that was their intent, that would make more sense than just lying for no good reason about wanting to get, how you can stow away on a landing gear.
So I assume the people that you've got to be pretty desperate.
Yeah.
Right. To stow away.
Fleeing some like war torn country.
Right. That's what I assume is that it's somebody that's desperately trying to get away from where they are. Like the people that go through, what's the area in Panama called where there's no road. I'm obsessed with this place and now can't think of it. You can take the Pan-America Highway, goes from Alaska to the southern tip of Argentina, except for this one area of Panama and Colombia that I talk about all the time and obsessed with. Like, what is that called?
I don't think you've mentioned
that. Oh my gosh. What is that area of Panama with no road? Oh my gosh. I am Darien Gap. Holy cow, did that work?
Darien Gap.
There's an area, they were going to build the Pan-American Highway to go from one tip to the other. Huh. And the Darien Gap exists where it's all, it's gang ridden, but it's swamps and mountains and remote and jungle. And they said, we can't build a road through this. And so they didn't. Also, we don't want all the immigrants from South America up there. North of there. So they didn't finish it.
Jeez. All right. Yeah. So to answer the question from earlier about how you can breathe then on an airplane, it is cabin pressurization. The fuselage is kept at a cabin altitude of 6,000 to 8,000 feet. That's high, but it keeps the oxygen partial pressure sufficient. And what they do is they have engine bleed air, compressed air tapped off of the engines, then cool it through air conditioning packs, mix it with filtered recirculated air, and feed the cabin that air. So it's actually, that's a sophisticated system.
A lot of it's recirculated. Because that's why some people get sick. It's just recirculated.
Because if you have a cold, then it spreads easier. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A few modern jets use electric compressors instead of bleed air.
Okay.
So they actually do, instead of that whole complicated system, which seems like there could be a lot of inherent issues in there. Mm-hmm.
But we never hear about that.
Never hear about them. Maybe because that's something they definitely have to test before they take off. Or people will just die of hypoxia.
It's one of the first things you need to get right.
Yeah, everybody turns blue, including the pilot. So there you go. That's how they do it. I had no idea. And it's something I never thought of. Like, how are you breathing at 32,000 feet?
Yeah. Yeah, that's why so many people die on Everest is the inability
to use
so much oxygen.
It's just you can't breathe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the freezing to death is a problem too in these landing gear because it's 60 degrees below zero when you get that high.
Yeah.
You can't survive that.
All right.
Okay, I'm done being a science geek.
Coming up, speaking of science, a teacher is apologizing for feeding the classroom kitten to a snake. Katie, I'm sorry that we're doing this story because I know you love kittens and hate snakes. But that's happening, and we're going to talk about it next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my God.
Are you really telling me that there is a Christmas song that would go along with a story like this? There's not. There's no way. Mm. Story came to us out of NBC. This is out of Dallas-Fort Worth headline. And if you have kids in the room...
yeah.
Send him outside. Mm. A teacher apologizes after feeding ailing kitten to a classroom snake.
Yeah.
It took place before school. No students were present, thank goodness. So this teacher had a little bit of sense about him. The assistant superintendent or the superintendent said they got a report September 3rd of a parent who heard that a teacher did this in front of students. Police department and administrators investigated and said that what the rumors online, they weren't true. But they did confirm that an advanced animal science teacher fed an ailing kitten to a snake before the start of the school day and outside the presence of students.
Okay. Can I stop and ask two questions? One, an ailing kitten, that seems sad that a kitten is sick to begin with. Two, how big is the snake that it was kept in a classroom and it's big enough to eat? I don't know how big the kitten is unless it's a newborn kitten.
It could be tiny.
I guess it could be kind of tiny, but it would have to be. Mouth. I would assume it's not something you just, can you get it at a pet store? Like, is that where he got it?
I don't know.
It wasn't tall. Anyway.
So this is going to get complicated. And if you want to weigh in on how this is going to end, because police are involved in this, the school district consulted with legal counsel. We can talk about whether this teacher should be punished or fired. I mean, that's, you know. She acknowledged, by the way, this teacher acknowledged that decision that she did that. She announced to her class that she did this.
Where did she get
that? That was dumb. We might need to see if there's a different version of the story somewhere.
I'm looking it up.
The teacher was an experienced educator and animal lover, has apologized to the students for her actions and voluntarily removed all snakes, plural, from her classroom. So the school district's police department talked to the county's animal control department and the district attorney's office, because this has not ever happened before, and decided let the school district handle it. So she didn't break any. So there's not any animal abuse concern here. The superintendent said the school district consulted with legal counsel and confirmed the incident with the teacher was isolated, and they said has been addressed and remediated. NBC5 asked the district where the teacher got the kittens, and we've not yet found that out.
Some people might find this to be an unfair standard. I wouldn't want this person teaching my kids. And I'll tell you why. Because if you're fine with feeding a live kitten to a snake and just sitting there and I'm assuming watching it happen or whatever, instead of feeding it normal things like dwarf mice or whatever that you get from a pet store to feed a snake, I think there's something wrong with you.
I think there is there was a lapse in judgment in telling the class that you did this. I don't know how old this class is. How old these kids are?
I don't know, but I'm assuming if it's science class at least middle school.
Yeah. I take issue a little bit. Was this the best way to if you have kittens that are sick, is this the best?
Feed it
in class?
Like, could you?
In the school?
I hate to say it. Kill it first or, and then feed it to the thing?
I don't know what average people do if your kittens are sick when you have... I don't know what you do. I had a lot of kittens when I was a kid.
Yeah.
They were never sick.
Mm.
But I take issue a little bit with the announcement, with telling the class
and
that
also
this happened.
Letting the class know that you did it.
That's what I mean. I take issue with that announcement.
Yeah.
That's...
I'm sorry. I don't think this person should be teaching children anymore. It's just disturbing.
I'm surprised. It doesn't say in here that this person was disciplined,
mm-hmm.
but usually if they're on like administrative leave or something, they will tell us that, and that's not in here. I bet this was a very stern warning. What were you thinking? Hey, dummy, never do this again.
This is Texas, so maybe they're like, we can't find anybody else to teach these kids. Like, we can't. We have to let the kitten killer keep teaching, because otherwise, what are we going to do? 913-586-7798. From the text line, you can buy... No, you cannot. You can buy feeder kittens at pet stores. No, you can't.
Feeder kittens?
No, you can't.
Quentin, you've worked with animals. No, you're just laughing in there, so I assume.
Yeah.
Well,
no.
My brother has a snake, and he buys frozen mice.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yes.
Where you can do that.
You can buy feeder mice.
Yeah.
That's a thing, sure. But not kittens.
Which, by the way, I'm not using that freezer, dude.
Yeah, it's typically frozen mice, rats, insects, other reptiles.
And a snake can be pretty long, and they can still just live off of mice.
Mm-hmm.
Like... I mean, now, depending on how old this kitten was, I don't know. I mean, if it was like a week or two old, I mean, they're small, but it is like two things. One, it is weird how we divide up certain animals.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, this is what this is, so we have to treat it this way, where it's like, this is what this is, so I don't care about it.
Right.
Right. That thought came to my mind. But then the other thought is like, then what goes through your mind that you're like, this is good? Like, I can make this decision and everything would be okay. Because if you're telling your students about it, there has to be a part of you that was just like, this will go over fine.
Yeah. They have a right to know.
Yeah. And again, I think this is where I ask about the age of the kids. Like, if it's a seventh grader can handle this better than a third grader. Yeah.
If it was a specialty teacher, middle school is where you like, you know, you go to math class and then you go to English class.
Yeah, you switch periods.
Right.
Through the course of the day. I'm confounded by this action in the first place. You have ailing kittens. What do you do with them? Didn't it also say in the story that she let a student take one of the rest of the ailing kittens home and they died pretty quickly after the student got them home?
Yep.
So why were the kittens sick? Where did the kittens come from?
Yep.
There's no other path toward disposing, not even disposing. They weren't dead yet. There wasn't, and I don't.
I mean, depending on what it was, when something's that small, you know, there's not a whole lot you can do for them.
Okay, but what does the average person, if I'm just at home and I have kittens and they're sick, what do I do with them?
I mean, take them to the vet.
Okay.
And in theory, when your kittens are first born, you take them to the vet. Like, you know.
Get them checked out.
Yeah.
Because
at the very least, you need mom to be checked out.
Right.
From the text line, I hate snakes, but why does it matter that it was a kitten versus a mouse or a squirrel or anything else?
Right. That was my thought. But it's because we view cats and dogs differently.
Because
they're cute.
Mice, it's not the same socially.
Right.
One is livestock adjacent. The other is a pet species. One we've decided to allow into our houses and serve a kind of social contract with us. We let you in the house, you kill the rodents. And the other is the thing that we're allowing the thing in the house to kill.
Mm-hmm.
One spreads disease, the other one doesn't.
Unless, one we set traps out for to get rid of.
Yes, right.
The other one we don't.
Yeah.
You know? I'm just very surprised that nothing happened to this teacher at all. That there was no that we know of.
Yeah.
In terms of discipline.
I mean, it's North Texas, so maybe they have different standards there too. Maybe they're a little tougher, but I would not be okay with this person teaching my kids.
I get
anymore.
It. Again, I question judgment.
I'm surprised there's not an animal cruelty charge.
That's what I said. There's not. But if the kitten was sick, because the others died pretty quickly after that.
I think if you put this in front of a jury of your peers and yeah. you're like, this kitten was fed to a snake, I think a lot of people would be like, yeah, that's animal cruelty.
Yeah.
From the text line, it's only frowned upon because it's a domesticated animal. Yes!
Well, that's a good reason.
that's our point. It's frowned upon. There's a lot of things that are frowned upon because of the thing that it's happening to, and we've decided as a civilization that we prioritize those things over other things. If you smack your child across the face, most people will be like, that's not okay. You shouldn't do that. But because your kid said something to you, but if you, a grown man says, hey, calls you a bunch of racial slurs or something, most people are like, hey, the guy had it coming. He was a real jerk. There's a difference in priorities.
I mean, there's a lot of people that get upset when I say that I dissected a cat in high school.
Yes.
Right.
Henry's school's doing that. And I was a little bit like, really? But honestly, I don't know. It's dead already. It's not like they're vivisecting it.
So there's a lot of people that get upset with that. I mean, and then this is just an even further example of that.
Yeah.
This is just.
Anyway.
And like, it's before school. And she's like, hey, I got an hour to kill before the kids get here today.
Yeah. And a kitten to kill, too.
Yeah. And then let's announce it to the kids. Yeah. Hey, circle of life.
Yeah. By the way, yeah, we never said that she did it in front of him. So people on the text line.
We said she did not.
Yeah. People on the text line. She didn't do it in front of him.
She did not do it in front of
them.
We said that. Yeah.
We know. She didn't do it in front of him. At least she didn't do that. But she told them
she did it.
For no reason.
Why? Why just lie to him?
Did she just like pick up the snake and be like, see that hump? that was a kid.
That was Frosty. 913-586-7798. We'll talk about this some more coming up on Midday. Snakes. I hate snakes.
I assume I saw one in my yard over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Bad. It's bad.
I don't have any fear of everything else bothers me. Ironically, I actually have more of a issue with mice than I do with snakes. We had garter snakes in our yard in Massachusetts. That never bothered me.
Blue racer snake is what we have. And
they move weird, though. I'll give you that.
And they are aggressive. They come at you. And I did a fire on Saturday night, and I have a big pile of firewood under a leather cover. And I lift that cover, and I go to grab a piece of wood, and it got in my space.
That's
up close.
That's not happening to me. Usually I'd just be walking and see one in the yard.
They
or
come
something.
At me.
Yeah.
So
now you're messing with its home and you're angry at it.
I created its home. I made its home possible.
So we're talking about this teacher in North Texas who's got in trouble because she fed, quote, an ailing kitten to the classroom snake. She didn't do it in front of students, but she did tell the students about it later for some reason. I have a problem with this. Mm-hmm. Jamie has a problem with this. Many of you do not, though. Let's go to Amy in Stewartsville. Hey, Amy.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. What do you have to say about this?
Hey, so I think that everyone is making a mountain out of a molehill. I don't like snakes. I don't like cats. But the cat was going to die, right?
Yeah.
Circle of life. Why not let the snake eat it?
Well,
you're going to bury it. Granted, she shouldn't have said anything to the students. I completely agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, why not?
For a couple of reasons. One, because the snake shouldn't be eating sick animals.
And a lot of
people have brought that up on the text. I meant to bring that up earlier. Mm-hmm. Is it's not really nice to feed some ailing animal. We don't know what the ailment was, but assuming it's got some kind of disease or sickness,
like,
it's not healthy
for the snake to have it.
Hey, here's a tumor cow. You wouldn't eat a burger from McDonald's with extra tumors in it. So that's also a problem. But the other thing is, it's not the Serengeti. It was a classroom.
Right.
Like, this isn't a time to experiment with the circle of life. This isn't Timon and Pumbaa and Simba. This was in a classroom. It just seems like a violation of the sanctity of that and the innocence of the kids to be feeding a snake a sick kitten.
Do more people do this than I realize? Do more people if they have an ailing animal at home,
feed it,
handle it, just kind of handle it however you want.
Thanks for your call, Amy. I have a my best friend, James, his dad went took his dog to the vet. Mm-hmm. Vet said the dog only has maybe like a month to live.
Mm-hmm.
Took it home and blew its brains out. Yeah.
I had to ask, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet that happens more than we realize. People that don't want to spend the money to have their pet put down.
In his head, he was like, it's my dog.
Yeah.
It's an old yeller thing. I'll take care of it, Mom. Mm-hmm. I know he's got rabies. I'll take care of it. But it's a story my friend James has told me before, and it doesn't exactly make his dad more likable to me. It's
a happy note to end the show on today.
Anyway,
remember,
fun stuff.
Tomorrow, recall vote.
Vote. We'll definitely have good news for you then. I guess the good news will be on Wednesday. But still, the fact that you can vote, participate in democracy, and have a say in your life. Dana Parks is up next.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.